if you were in Peter's shoes around the time just prior to the crucifixion, and Jesus said, if you remember how it went in the scripture, Jesus told Peter, he said, not only will you deny me, but you will deny me three times before the rooster crows in the morning. You know, how would you, if you were in that situation and Jesus told you that, how do you think that would make you feel? Do you feel like you would possibly disagree with that? I know that I'm just stubborn enough to say, you know what, if somebody told me that, I'd go lock myself in a closet until morning just to be able to say, no, that wasn't me. But obviously we know Jesus is always right. And we see what happened with Peter as he denied the Lord just as Jesus said he would three times before the rooster would crow. So as we continue our look at the Faith Under Fire series that we've just begun, today we want to look at courage in the face of persecution. So if you've got that Bible, or if you don't have it, grab it, turn it over to 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We are so tickled that you're joining us today to gather around the Word of the Lord as we do our best to draw closer to Him and be disciples of His. So as we think about that question for a moment, you know, when persecution happens, and most of the time we can think about persecution, we've seen it on the news, we've seen it overseas, we've probably heard about it through our churches. But what happens when persecution lands on you where you are here in the United States of America in this day and age? How do you do with that? And persecution has many, many different forms. It's not always somebody coming at you with physical persecution. Sometimes it's words. Sometimes it's the way that you were shunned or whatever the case may be. But the bottom line is there are many different forms of persecution. And the Word tells us this is something that as a believer, if we're walking as we should walk, we are going to have to endure that. So today, we gather to explore, this particular theme. And it's one that is both timeless and it is incredibly relevant to you and I today. And that is courage in the face of persecution. So our key passage that we're going to be looking at today is 1 Peter chapter 4, specifically verses 12 and 14, where the Apostle Peter offers encouragement to Christians that are enduring trials for their faith. Now, in a world where challenges to our beliefs can come in various different directions, understanding how to stand firm with courage is something that is essential to you and I as born-again believers and as we go about our day-to-day life and our day-to-day business. So look with me at the text, if you would. The text is 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading at verse 12. It says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, He is blasphemed, but on your part, He is glorified." Let us look to the Lord in a word of prayer today. Our Father, as we come to you again, we just ask that you would truly help us, give us insight into your word today. Lord, I pray that for those that may be listening today that are believers, this would truly give them strength for their journey. I pray, Father, that we would glean much from your word today, that we make it applicable to our lives. Lord, that we would see the fiery trials as encouragements. Lord, to be able to embrace them, but to do so for all the right and proper reasons. Now, Lord, today I also pray that if there's one that is watching that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today truly would be the day that they would give their life to you and experience what true life and true joy is really all about. So, Father, during this time, I pray that you would be with me as your messenger. I pray that you would use me as your vessel to disseminate your word. And, Lord, I also pray for all the listeners. May you give them ears to hear what the Spirit would have to say today as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks. Well, one of the things that we always have to do as we look at God's word is to have an understanding of the context of what's taking place and what's going on. Now, Peter writes to the early Christians who faced persecutions for their faith. Now, he begins by reminding them not to be surprised by the trials that they encounter. It's often been said, you know what, don't be surprised. There's a false theology that goes out in today's society that says, well, I'll tell you what, if you give your life to Jesus and if you're a true believer, then what happens is all your problems go away. That, A, is, number one, is not true. Number two, that is not what the Scriptures tell us. The Scriptures tell us that we are going to have trials along the way. So he is reminding them, don't be surprised by the trials that you are going to encounter. And I want to reiterate that today. Don't you be surprised by the trials that you are encountering, okay? This is a crucial point for us in our day and age. As believers, we must recognize that challenges and sufferings are not some sort of an anomaly, but rather they are part of the Christian journey. Yeah, I don't know why it is that we seem to get into a point when these trials come our way and we just feel like we're just completely off kilter and everything. Jesus told us these are things that are going to happen in your life. Be ready for them. Be prepared for them. And Peter calls these trials in our text today, he calls them a fiery ordeal. And it's a fiery ordeal that is meant to test or to refine our faith. And I always love that word refine, because when we think about refining something, often in a situation like this, we will couple this sort of refinement with something like gold. And we know that the way that you get impurities out of gold is that you superheat it to a very hot temperature, and then what happens are impurities that are in that gold will float to the top, and then obviously they could be skimmed off, and then once everything cools down and that gold solidifies once again, it is more pure than it was before the time of refinement. And you can see the spiritual parallel that goes along with that. Okay, so as we continue to look at our text today, when we look at enduring suffering, we have to look at that as a source of blessing. That's not always easy to do. When we are in the middle of a trial or a temptation, that's not something that we look at. We don't want to sit back and go, oh man, this thing is just falling completely apart. Woohoo, what a blessing. That's not what we think. But in verse 13 and 14, Peter encourages us to rejoice in our suffering. And here's why. He says to do so because they allow us to participate in the suffering of Christ. Now, this participation is not in vain. It brings us closer to Him, and it promises a future glory that will be given to us when we have that opportunity to be with the Master. Now, when we're insulted for the name of Christ. Now, if you're living and breathing and you are a believer and you have to go out and about the world, then I will guarantee you that at some point you have been insulted for the name of Christ. Whether it's because somebody says, oh, well, look, man, that person's a believer and they're not like us, or whatever it may be. You've been insulted for the name of Christ. So when you are, you have to understand that we are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon us when we go through those times of trials and when we go through those times of suffering. Now, this is the truth. See, our trials are not without purpose. We have got to understand that. You know, I know that there are times in my life, and I'm sure that there are times in your life as well, that you've gone through some trials, and yet you have held on to the promise. You've held on to the promise in the Word of God that says, hey, this trial that you're going through is for a purpose. I can tell you, and there have been times in my life when I haven't understood what that purpose is. I'm sure there are times in your life when you've asked that same question. You're like, Lord, I know your word tells me that there's a purpose behind the suffering and this trial that I'm going through, but I certainly don't know what it is. Now, I know that personally in my life, there have been times that down the road, I've had a chance to look back over my shoulder and look into the past, and I can see where the purpose for the trial was. But man, I'm going to be honest with you. There have been some times in my life where even as I look back today, I don't understand the purpose. Now, just because I don't understand it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Some things we may not see what the purpose for them was until we're on the other side of glory. And that's okay. The biggest thing is we have to trust in what the Lord is doing in our hearts and lives. We have to trust that he loves us and that he's not going to do anything to hurt or harm us. And he came that we might truly have life and that we might have it more abundantly. You know, sometimes we get in those circumstances and situations and we find ourselves a lot like Job. And when I think about Job, Job didn't understand why things were happening the way they were. You know, as we read the book, we understand what's taking place because I call that the aerial view. We get the aerial view of what is going on. We are privy to the fact that Satan came into the presence of God. We're privy of that conversation. Job was not. And I'm sure that there were times as we read that he sat back and was like, I have no idea why this is going on. I have no idea what the purpose in it may be. And sometimes we get a little uptight with God, but I love what Job said. Even though his heart wasn't necessarily in the most joyous place at that time, he said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Is that our attitude when we go through trials, when we go through times of tribulation in our lives? You need to understand this, particularly if you're going through a trial right now, that trial or those trials that you've had in the past, as well as those trials that are coming in the future, are not without purpose. They're opportunities for spiritual growth. There are opportunities to stretch our faith. There are opportunities for us to have a deeper fellowship with Christ. And I mentioned that to a fellow believer one time, and he asked me this. He said, well, how is that an opportunity for a deeper fellowship with Christ? And I said, well, have you ever thought about it? When you're in the midst of your trials, who do you generally run to? You run to the Lord. You know, it's kind of like the old situation that I remember hearing about growing up. It said, as long as there are exams, there will always be prayer in schools. And I agree with that as well. But now when we sit there and think about it, when we're in a circumstance, a situation, or a trial that we know only the Lord can get us through, we certainly spend a lot more time with him discussing that. We certainly spend more time in his word trying to figure out what the purpose is. We're trying to figure out what's taking place and what's going on. And in the process, we grow depth. We grow some deeper spiritual roots in our walk with Christ and in our fellowship with him. And when we endure suffering with faith, we become testimonies of God's strength and his grace to the world that is around us. Now, notice what I said. I said, when we endure that suffering with faith, remember what faith is. The technical definition is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. It's believing that God can. And when we know it's completely out of our hands and we turn it over to him, when we have that peace in our heart that the Lord's taking care of it, we become walking testimonies of God's strength. We become walking testimonies of God's grace to those that are around us, to those that see us, especially those who know and understand the trial that we are going through. I know that in my life there have been times when I've sat back before and I've certainly prayed for somebody, a brother or a sister that's going through something, and I've thought to myself, and I actually even said it in prayer, I'm like, Lord, man, why don't you give them a break? Man, this is one of the greatest Christians I know. This is somebody who's got a walk with you. And they're going through this dark, dark valley. They're going through these trials and tribulations and temptations and persecutions. And Lord, they're doing so with peace. So if there was ever somebody that needed a break, how about giving them a break? I don't know if you've ever prayed a prayer like that, but I know I certainly have. So as we think about the context of our passage and of our text today, we think about the everyday challenges that we have. And I've always said that one of the big things that we must do with God's word is not only absorb it into who we are, but it doesn't make any difference if we just simply get head knowledge. It needs to become heart knowledge, and we need to apply the principles that we learn in God's word. We need to make them applicable to our everyday life. And today we're talking about trials and temptations, and we're talking about everyday challenges that you and I have. So I want to give you a few things. I hope you've got a pen or something that you could write this down with. And by the way, Even if you don't have a piece of paper or something like that, jot it down in your Bible at this particular text. I mean, you know, my Bible is chock full of notes. It's just written all over inside it. And they have been tremendous sources of strength for me over the years as I've gone over a passage. And often it's reminded me of where I've been. It's reminded me of God's victories. It's reminded me of God's glory in my life. So I want to challenge you to do that. But anyway, I want to give you a few practical guidance steps for navigating everyday challenges when it comes to dealing with these type persecutions. Okay, number one, okay, are you ready for this? You know, here's your practical thing. First thing that you need to do is stay rooted in prayer. In times of persecution, prayer is our lifeline. Did you get that? Prayer is our lifeline. All right? It keeps us connected to God, and it strengthens our resolve. We need to make prayer a daily habit, especially when we are facing challenges. Now, most people have told me before, when I'm facing challenges, I don't have any problem whatsoever praying. But you know what? Don't just run to the Lord when you're in the midst of persecutions or trials or situations or temptations. Be buddies with the Lord even through the good times. Don't put him on the back burner in your life. And you need to make prayer a daily habit. I believe it with all my heart, and I know that a lot of my colleagues have said the same thing. I can still remember questions being asked to, it was an older pastor who was retiring. And one guy asked him one time, he said, well, if you could do anything different, what would you do different? And I still remember that retiring pastor said this. He said, without hesitation, he said, I would have prayed more. He said, you know, I've learned that after a career, and I'll call it a career, even though it's a calling, but after his career in ministry, he said, prayer is not just part of the ministry. Prayer is the ministry. So how are you going to stay rooted in the master? You do that in prayer. I love that passage that says, I am the vine, you are the branches. You need to remain connected to him so you can get the spiritual nourishment that you need to be able to survive on a day-to-day basis. So you have got to stay rooted in prayer. Make prayer that daily habit, especially as you face those challenges. Okay, that was number one. Number two, you need to seek support from the community. Now, a lot of you have noticed that I call church community because that's exactly what it is. The early Christians relied on each other for support and for encouragement. And we too should lean on our church community. You know, we need to be able to share our struggles, and we need to allow others to pray and to stand with you. Now, I've said this before. I think that it's critical. This is one of the reasons I am a major proponent for small groups. I know that my discipleship group, if there was something going on in my life, if there's something I need prayer on, I believe with all of my heart I could go to my discipleship group, that group of men, I could share it with them. I could be vulnerable in their presence. And I believe with every ounce of my being that those guys would not take that and use that against me, but rather what they would do is that they would walk with me. They would pray with me. And there are times if I wasn't able to put one foot in front of the other that they would carry me along the way on this journey. Folks, you need to have some people in your life that fit that particular bill. You need to be able to lean on them, particularly during those times, and to be able to share the struggles that you have. Listen, folks, here's something we've got to understand. Nobody is perfect. You might be thinking of somebody that you think is the most spiritual person in the world, or you might even look at them and say, I would like to emulate my spiritual life after them, and that's perfectly okay. But the one thing that you need to understand is that they are not perfect. They have struggles as well. So don't feel like you're this island all alone when you're going through times of struggle. Most of the time, you can find somebody who has gone through that same sort of struggle that you have gone through, and they have been victorious as they have come through it. So not only will those people pray with you, but they will stand with you when the going gets tough. I like what it says, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. All right, let me give you number three. The third thing we can do is focus on God's promises, all right? You need to remind yourself of God's promises that he gives us in the Scripture. He promises never to leave us. He promises never to forsake us. We need to meditate on these truths to bolster our courage. Because at times, when you're going through the tough times, it feels like it's awful dark and it feels like it's awful lonely. And it feels like it's awful quiet sometimes. But when you think that those things are true, you need to remember that you serve a master who says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death or any other deep, dark valleys, you need to understand as a believer, He is right there with you and He is there to give you courage. And sometimes we have to meditate on these things. You know, it's one of those situations where sometimes I've been in circumstances and I'm like, Lord, I'm not hearing you. I've cleaned out my ears spiritually and physically, and I'm not hearing a word. And sometimes the Lord has us in that holding pattern. I've shared many times with my church, as well as those I've had an opportunity to preach for. I've shared the story of the fact that one time I had been out of town. I'd been at a convention. I was coming back into town, and I still remember it. It seemed like it'd been so long since I'd been home, and I was so looking forward to being home. And then as we were coming into the Piedmont Triad Airport, I kept noticing that we were making a left turn, a left turn, a left turn. And then I said, you know, we're circling this airport. I hadn't heard anything on the loudspeaker yet, and I started getting mad, man. I mean, I was fuming. And then a little while afterwards, you know, it's like, yeah, folks, you know, we are in a holding pattern at Piedmont Triad. And of course, I'm sitting there thinking, we're not in Chicago or Atlanta or all these places. It shouldn't be a problem. And blah, blah, blah. Why can't we just land the plane? So at any rate, after some time, we finally, you know, landed. And while we were taxiing up to the gate, I still remember that the pilot came on and said, folks, I just want to thank you for your patience. He said there was a herd of deer on the runway, and we had to wait for the airport to get them cleared so that we could land safely. Otherwise, it could have been catastrophic. And I gained a great spiritual truth out of that. And the great spiritual truth that I gained from that was that sometimes God has us in the holding pattern while He clears the runway so that we can land safely. I hope and pray this analogy may be one that you can hold on to as you go forward and as you fight the battles as well, and as you try to hold on as tightly as you can to our Lord and Savior. So that was number three. We need to focus on God's promises. And finally, we need to respond. This is number four. We need to respond with love. Sometimes that's difficult. When faced with hostility, respond with love and with grace. That's the way Jesus would respond. Jesus taught us to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. Man, that's verbatim, isn't it? You know, what does it say? Love your enemies? We don't like that. Pray for those who persecute us. That's difficult to do as well. But yet the Lord doesn't suggest we do that. The Lord commands we do that. See, this not only reflects Christ, but it also diffuses hostility. I've always said it like this. If somebody's going to fight, it takes two to fight. If somebody's going to argue, it takes two to argue. You know what? If you will not allow yourself to be a part of that, then you won't find yourself in an argument or in a fight. You know, particularly when hostilities are high. Okay? So what can we do with all this? As we reflect on Peter's encouragement, let us commit to standing firm in our faith with courage. Let us embrace the trials that we're facing, knowing that they're opportunities to draw closer to Christ and to shine His light in the world. Man, what is it that he says? He said, you know, we live in a dark world, and as Christians, we are the light of this world. So may we truly be the light that represents the Master as we go about our daily business. May we be emboldened to live out our faith with conviction, no matter what the cost. Why did I say conviction? Because you know what? You will do the things that bring the conviction in your life. If you are a believer and you trust that, you will live those convictions out. You will be living in a biblical worldview. That doesn't mean that you're gonna pass the muster every single day, because we'll fail. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thanks be to God that through repentance there's forgiveness. But may we be convicted to walk with him and be strengthened by him and his word, no matter what the cost. Because folks, I believe with all my heart that the word tells us it's going to cost you something. I think that the costs are even being escalated as we continue to go in the future. What is the cost of serving Jesus today? I hope and trust and pray that you are willing to be able to step up and say, you know what, Jesus is worth it. No matter what's going on in the periphery of my life, Jesus is worth serving. I hope and trust and pray that you will be able to say that, okay? Let me tell you about what we're going to be looking at as far as this week as we continue a look at our series of faith. I've titled this series Faith Under Fire. And if you gave it a subtitle, it would be Standing Firm in the Midst of Trials and Tribulations. So next week, I want you to spend a little bit of time in Daniel chapter 3. That's Daniel chapter 3. That'll be your reading for this week. And next week, as we gather for the Wednesday Bible study, we're going to look at faith against all odds. That's going to come out of Daniel chapter 3, specifically verses 16 through 18. And we're going to learn from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, steadfast faith in God is what it takes, despite facing fiery furnaces that these three Hebrew children did. And we're also going to reflect on the power of unwavering trust in God when we are confronted with impossible situations. So I hope and trust and pray that you'll be read up on Daniel chapter 3 and that you will join us next Wednesday when we once again gather around His Word for the Wednesday Bible study. Let me pray with you as we close our time today. Our Father, as we come to you today, we want to thank you for the example of courage shown to us by early Christians. Lord, we ask for the strength to endure. Lord, as we read our devotion every day, the one I post, I titled it Strength for the Journey. So we ask for strength for the journey and strength to endure our trials with faith and with perseverance. Lord, I pray that you will help us to see that our sufferings are opportunities to grow closer to you. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to be a witness to your love and your grace to a world that is around us. Lord, fill us with your Spirit that we may stand firm and respond with love. And Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, listen, thank you again for taking the time, the opportunities, and the moments to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I want to invite you to come worship with us in person Sunday mornings. We start at 10:45. We do have other discipleship opportunities such as Sunday school, Awana for the kids, small groups, men's groups, women's groups. We would love to have you come worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. So I hope and pray I'll get a chance to see you this coming Sunday. God bless. Have a great week.